The recording has begun again. It is 9:01. Dr. King, we were on agenda item 7A for informal hearings.
Correct. We are on agenda item 7A for an informal hearing for case 2214, Stephanie Cottingham, PT. Let's do a roll call and have Ms. Cottingham, her representative, and Mr. Newsom introduce themselves, and then I have a little bit of a script, and then we'll move into the informal hearing. So I'm Dr. King. I'm the board chair for the Arizona PT board.
Karen Dio, vice president.
Javon Leone, secretary.
John Hyde, public member. Physical therapist.
Mr. Hyde, aren't you a professional member?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. The coffee hasn't kicked in. I'm a professional member. Thank you, Josh.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Anyone else?
Dr. King, members of the board, James Bennett on behalf of Stephanie Cottingham, who is also present.
Okay. And I just want to remind you, Mr. Bennett, if I may, that you guys can certainly make an opening statement, but the questions and things will be between the board and the licensee.
Understood, doctor.
Thank you. And Mr. Newsom, are you on the call as well?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. So this interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on the licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds a violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the board's statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the license or certificate, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. At this time, can we swear in the witnesses, please?
Let the record show that Ms. Richardson and Ms. Cottingham and Mr. Newsom, please raise your right hand. Do you all swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
I do. How far?
Let the record show all witnesses have affirmed.
Mindy, do you want to give us an overview of the investigation?
Sure. Thank you, members of the board. The initial review of this case, 2214, was completed by the board in December of 2022. At that time, the board voted to move the case to an informal hearing and ordered additional investigative review be completed. This specifically included the review of the audio recording that the complainant, Mr. Newsom, had submitted with his complaint. He stated that this recording represented the PT and OT visit that occurred with his mother on 10-2 of 2018. A copy of the audio recording and the investigative report was provided to Ms. Cottingham and her attorney, Mr. Bennett. They have provided written responses that are included in your board review materials as Exhibit 8 and 9, and the audio recording is provided in the board review materials as Exhibit 7 and 7A. Mr. Newsom is the son of patient DW, and he alleged that Ms. Cottingham made false statements in the medical record when she completed her documentation after physical therapy co-treatment of his mother on 10-2-18. In his subsequent interview, Mr. Newsom also alleged that Ms. Cottingham was verbally abusive to DW during the treatment on 10-2 of 2018. The investigation identified two potential violations for the board to consider: ARS 32-2044-14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter or in the practice of the profession, and ARS 32-2044-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Cottingham, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. And thank you, Board, for your time this morning. I would like to state, after listening to the audio recording that Mr. Newsom provided, what I heard on that recording was a group of healthcare professionals that treated the patient in front of them with compassion, professionalism, respect, and a significant level of patience. I hear a patient on that recording that I gave the benefit of the doubt as being confused and or uncooperative rather than belligerent, as I don't have the privilege of having known the patient prior to our interactions in the hospital. What I heard in that recording is a co-treatment, which is very standard in the setting in which I was treating at that time, where the patient received occupational therapy services to evaluate the upper extremity, where I was assisting in those services as well as providing services myself, which were documented in the care, where I hear a son who's in fact participating in a session, and I hear therapists who assist in answering all of the questions of the patient and the complainant to the point of obtaining the nurse to answer some questions about concerns of any bruising the patient may have had in her arms. I don't hear substandard care. I don't hear rudeness. I don't hear anything in those 27 minutes that were provided. I do not understand why the entirety of the session was not provided in that recording. As Mr. Newsom stated, he had that account in its entirety, but what I was provided with, I felt was a very considerate, conscientious treatment session where all of the necessary components were addressed for that patient as best as was allowed by the patient and her son in that setting. I felt that she was giving very professional care and consideration to promote the needs that she had and get her to the next level of care, or at least her afford the opportunity to make the decision about the next level of care. So thank you very much for your time and for the provision of the audio so that we could hear that.
Thank you, Ms. Cottingham.
Please.
Mr. Newsom, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yes, thank you all. The recording was taped because my mom was assaulted the day before by a nurse. Prior to the registered, the PT person entering into the room with my mom, if you had checked the notes, there was a 10-minute meeting that she's charged for that she had with the nurse director that the OT person did not attend. When she came into the room, all of the negative statements that you hear on the recording, that's not my job. I'm a therapist. All those statements that were made by the PT, not the OT person. What stood out to me was that I did not know that she had wrote these false statements about me and my mom in the medical record. She states that my mom did not let them put the strap on her arm. That's recorded. Everything that she wrote that was derogatory about my mom in her notes was none of the things happened in the room with my mom. It's not recorded with the OT, and it's not recorded on the audio. She stated that she came into the room. She came into that room not as a PT person. She came in that room as an advocate for the nurse that abused my mom. And all of her actions were very unprofessional in that she, when you listen to the audio, you hear her saying, she stated in her statement that she put on the record that I need training moving my mom. On the audio, you hear her saying when she go gets the water, that's at 17 minutes on the audio. She says, I cannot move her. Will you? Who's going to move her? I moved my mom not because I knew what I was doing. I moved my mom because they couldn't pick my mom up. My mom should have never been moved. My mom was a Hoyer lift. My mom was a two-person transfer, and they were trying to get my mom to move. My mom was overweight. They wanted her to bend over. She couldn't do that. My mom kept telling them. It's like they came in the room to label my mom as a confused patient. Right after the meeting with the OT and the PT person, my mom on the medical records is labeled as a confused patient. If you listen to the audio, when they're asking my mom to do things, my mom is answering their questions. But what happens is, even after my mom does the things that they're asked her to do, they're not charting that she washed herself. She made false statements that my mom asked her to wash her, wash her body. On the audio, you hear my mom not saying anything, but give me the rag, I'll wash myself. They got my mom up. The whole thing was about them trying to get my mom to go to the bathroom. She was not confused. She told them, I don't have to go to the bathroom. Then they said, well, let's wash her. Let's let her do some body care. After they did the body care, my mom gets stood up. After my mom stands up, the PT and the OT person forgets that she told them that they were going to wash her. And in her mind, having a stroke, the only thing is on her mind is getting her lower body clean, because that's what they kept on for 15 minutes saying they were going to do. After they get ready to wash my mom, the PT person, you hear her running water. She didn't let the water get hot. She put that cold water on my mom, said the water's cold, but it's got soap in it. Very, very inhumane. And then she also, you hear her saying over and over again that cover yourself. We don't want people to see you when you walk by. They left the door open so people can see my mom having a stroke, couldn't even cover her body. So my concern is not about the major violations. The major concern, I'm concerned about the inaccuracy that she put in the record and the misleading representation that she put it in the record based on this meeting that she had with the nurses. And she came in that room, not as an OT person, but as an advocate for the person that hit my mom and abused my mom. So all that's on the tape. Her records that she charted and stated do not match OT records. Her record time, if you look at the time of her records, she spent 10 minutes that's not recorded with the OT person. She didn't do any transfers. She shouldn't have been billed for anything. The only thing that she did that day, she did get the water from my mom. She did attempt to wash my mom. And when she did not wash my mother correctly, my mom said, hand me the towel. My mama never said anything derogatory to the PT person that she wrote in the nurse. And then she said something about my mom, about her breasts. My mom didn't say anything about her breasts. The OT persons told my mom, move the girls up. And my mom at that same time was trying to discuss about the belt, because she was still stuck on this bruising on her arm. She was a professional. She knew my mom was a stroke patient and she had, aphasia. She knew my mother had aphasia, then some things that she could not express. She was to remain professional, but I did not know that she falsified the medical records until I began to do research preparing for the lawsuit against the nurse. When I discovered that the PT person falsified the medical records, that's when I can contact and file the complaint. She should have remained professional. She should have never involved herself in that allegation with the nursing board concerning my mom. She should have stayed out of it and remained professional. When she came into the situation, she came in there harassing my mom. That's what I heard on the tape. I heard her not listening to my mom. When my mom tried to explain to her about what happened to her about the day before, she spoke over my mom and said, lotion, lotion, lotion. She overspoke a stroke patient. She took the conversation over when my mom was trying to explain to her why she was abused the day before. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention, because it's not fair for a patient to be mistreated by the people that she's supposed to be respected by. And she should have never, it was a conflict of interest. She should have stayed out of that. This would have never came up had she not came in there attacking my mom the way she did and then charted these lies on my mom.
Thank you, Mr. Newsom.
It was verbal abuse. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. At this time, we'll go into asking any questions of Ms. Cottingham.
So, Ms. Cunningham, I guess start us off. The first kind of question I have is the decision to defer treatment. Is that just a policy thing, or is that something that you're doing based off of your training as a physical therapist? Why was that decision made?
Are you referencing the day in which she was not seen while she was pinned gray of the wrist?
So yeah, I'm mentioning it looks like you deferred treatment to the upper extremity to occupational therapy. That's what I'm asking about.
Oh, okay. Yes, I apologize. So in the setting in which we were working as a comprehensive stroke center, every patient would have orders for occupational, physical, and speech therapy. And there is a delineation of sorts as to which deficits each member of that team would be addressing as most appropriate within their scope of practice, as well as not to have duplication of efforts. So there was occupational therapy present in the room, which the vast majority of that recording, you can hear the occupational therapist speaking and assessing the extremity. So it would appear that it would be actually fraudulent and redundant for me to then repeat those assessments that the occupational therapist was doing at the time that that recording is started. That was very much the standard practice in that setting. And I think anyone who has worked in an acute rehab setting or in an acute hospital setting is often familiar with that there are the multiple disciplinary participating in the care of a patient. So, for example, as a physical therapist, I may walk into a room and see on a board that a patient is not to have anything by mouth, based on what either nursing has assessed or speech therapy has assessed. I would not then go in and give them sips and drinks of water to make my own assessment whether they should or shouldn't be drinking. I would defer that to the most appropriate professional, which is also what we did in this case.
Thank you, Ms. Cunningham. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Dr. King, you're on mute.
Thanks. Can you help us understand the 10-minute meeting that Mr. Newsom is referring to?
I couldn't hear your question, Dr. King.
Can you, Mr. Newsom was referring to a 10-minute meeting that occurred with you and a nursing supervisor that she was billed for. Can you just kind of help us understand what he's referring to potentially?
I'm actually not certain. I don't have the documentation in front of me in any statement about 10-minute meeting prior to the session. What I can tell you is typical of all of the treatments and or evaluations that I would perform in that setting is after a chart review, either a very brief chart review to update myself from the last interaction I had with the patient, if it was a treatment like this one was, or a full chart review if I were going in for an initial evaluation. Excuse me. Each therapist would see out the nurse for that patient just to confirm, since the nurse is handling all of the patient's needs in real time, if there's anything going on with the patient that would preclude us going in and completing that treatment session that may not yet be documented in the charts in case there's anything just imminently happening. And so it was standard and remains standard, and I would do that to this day. If I were going in to treat a patient, I would immediately, prior to entering the room, seek the nurse to find out if there were any concerns that we needed to be addressing. Or also, just as an interdisciplinary team, it appears that the patient may have already been out of bed and in a chair, or I can't quite tell. I don't have context, so I apologize. She may not have been, but it appears that she was already up into a chair. And so we were starting a session from one location and maybe needing to get information about how did your transfer go there? Are there any things you need us to help you with when you're seeing that patient? Is there any wound care, any skin checks? It anything along that line, just so that we can provide the best level of care to the patient instead of just going in solo and not knowing what information that nurse might be able to provide to me. I will state I was unaware of any altercations that may have taken place, and in no way would I be trying to cover anything up. My concern, of course, is always for the patient. And in fact, we requested the nurse who was taking care of the individual that day to please come in and answer questions for Mr. Newsom with regard to his mother. So I would hope that his questions and her questions felt answered by that nurse.
Okay, thank you.
This is Mr. Greer. On the audio recording that we listened to, and I don't know if this was you, Ms. Cottingham, or the OT, but there was continual references to explaining that you guys were not nursing care. Did you
right.
feel like the patient ever understood the difference between what you guys were trying to accomplish and what the care she had been receiving in the hospital?
I did not get that impression from the tape that we heard, no. Again, I know the tapes seems to have started post the start of that session, so I can't tell the extent of what our introduction to the patient was when myself and the occupational therapist entered the room. But I do know that we would always introduce ourselves, and we clearly had done that because Mr. Newsom was indicating to his mother, this individual is the occupational therapist. She is here to do X, Y, and Z with you. And this person is the physical therapist, and she is here to do X, Y, and Z with you. They're not the nurses. I heard him clearly delineate that to her. So I would have to assume that there had to be an introduction, or he would not have known which of us to reference. So I don't get the impression that that was ever understood by the patient, though, because it was repeated. The occupational therapist is the voice that I heard most of the time throughout that session. And she over and over said what her job was, what her role was, and what we were trying to facilitate, as did I. And so I don't get the impression she ever did quite understand that, or even the basic questions of how she would do these tasks later in her future. She seemed to have a disconnect on being able to answer those questions.
And my question's a little bit different because I listened to the audio as well. Do you have any independent memory of this event, or are you relying on the video, on the audio as well?
No, I recall some degree of details about it when the complaint was filed. Admittedly, I did not recognize Mr. Newsom's name or DW's name that many years later. I did, when I began reading the notes, I did distinctly remember some of the verbiage that the woman had used with regard to needing to have a bowel movement and some body parts and a few other things. She made some commentary to the occupational therapist about her weight and that her shirt was fitting too tightly, and something to the effect of my being too skinny to help perhaps, or something along that line. So it did jog my memory, but I can tell you if the two of them were standing next to me in an elevator, would I have recognized them? I apologize. I would not. I did not recognize their names. But I did recall some of those interactions because it was a pretty atypical, interaction. Most of my patients aren't that uncooperative and or confused, though sometimes people are, but I did recall some of the session from reading my notes.
Thank you.
In following Dr. Greer's question, Dr. Cottingham, I have a question in terms of just clarifying Mr. Newsom's statement about you wanted to get the gal, his mom, to the bathroom. And so as a normal thing, as you go to co-treat PT and OT, can you explain to us just kind of what the plan perhaps was in terms of going to the bathroom or getting her up, and how potentially as a therapist that differs from the nursing approach?
Definitely. And so, again, I don't know what communication I may have had from the nurse when I walked into the room. There may have been some conversation that entailed perhaps, and I'm completely just making a scenario, don't know that this was the case, but certainly the nurse could have said to us, you know, we've really been needing to help her use the restroom. She's told us a few times, I can't go to the bathroom on a bedpan or something to that effect, and asked if we could perhaps help get her onto the bedside commode. Or we may have just gone into the room and with a patient who very much, as Mr. Newsom stated, she was a very heavy lift. In therapy, we typically would always attempt to do the most therapeutic intervention with a patient, doing a transfer, attempting to put weight through their legs, trying to facilitate any pre-gait activities, versus the nursing staff would much more be likely to use a lift system to get a patient into a bed, into a chair, or onto a commode. While in a hospital, there's not a lot of activities you can do in a room because it's small and there may not be a lot of things available. So the two may appear to be the same thing. This nurse came in and got my mom on the toilet. Great. That therapist came in and got my mom on the toilet. But the way that the patient was transferred there is likely two very different methods with two very different intentions, where the nurse would transfer the patient using a Hoyer or having two and three people just to safely get the person from point A to point B, in comparison to those of us that are doing that for our therapeutic intervention would be trying to see if, can she follow commands? Can she bear weight? Does she have a blood pressure drop? Does this individual, like, they can tolerate whatever level of therapy we might be recommending when they are leaving this facility? Or do they actually look like they're really at their baseline of what the family and the patient are telling me, and they could go home and go to home health or outpatient? So I think it's really the decision process and the mechanics of how we're doing two things that might be very similar, such as I know there is much conversation in that audio with regard to using the toilet and or performing any cleanup activities. And certainly a nurse would be much more likely to just come in and help clean the patient and not utilize the patient's own skills or try to use them as much as we in therapy would, so that we could give a better picture of the patient that we're recommending therapies for.
Right. And I think the other part that I want to ask about was the infusion part. In terms of going in to see a patient, an inpatient, you're going to review the chart ahead of time. And so perhaps the term confused is really looking at the pathology of stroke. So when you're looking at an individual that's had a stroke, would you say potentially in her answers that she was answering everything exactly after you asked it? Because the audio tape that I was listening to, she was not understanding what it is that you were asking or the OT was asking. And so you had to clarify several times throughout the whole audio tape. So can you speak to just the general idea of Mr. Newsom's statement about confused? He's very upset about this, and I understand, Mr. Newsom, why you might be. Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that this is this part is somewhat of a misunderstanding in terms of the pathology of stroke. So can you speak to that?
Yes. So I do try to be conscientious of what I write in a chart, that I don't diagnose an issue that's out of my area of purview, like dysphagia or aphasia or confusion and what other sort of things that might fall more under the neurologist or a neuropsychologist or someone else's purview, but rather to speak to what I'm seeing in front of me. The two largest points in that audio that I hear are very simple commands and questions not being understood or answered or followed, which tends to make me assume, I always do try to assume the best in someone, that they're not just being difficult and belligerent, that she wasn't understanding the questions because they came to the hospital seeking help. So I would assume that they would want to benefit from the treatments being offered. So I defer to that there's likely some level of confusion going on. I also hear a patient in there who's saying she's putting lotion in her hair and deodorant on her body, which isn't the typical use for those items. And it may very well have been for her, but that doesn't seem like what people normally use those products for. So those kind of things led me to carry over that communication of a patient who was confused, because those things to me indicated a level of confusion. She was able to answer questions about certain things, and some of them may have been accurate. Again, I don't have the privilege to know the patient before I meet them. So I do look to the patient, and in this case, the son, to corroborate, you know, mom is saying that she does this at home normally, and he and I may have been nodding yes, no, does she do that? Is that something typical of her, to gauge that level of accuracy of her statements, and then further confirm me, yes, she's understanding us, she's able to give us accurate details back, or no, this person isn't really quite following the conversation and she's fairly confused about the details of what we're trying to do here. Does that help better, Dr. Hike?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you. It was her stating the patient as confused was not intended to be derogatory of her, insulting her level of intelligence or anything along that line. It was just to be a descriptor for the next person coming in and or myself, another therapist, the PTA who might follow me, just to be aware that this person is conversant and they're able to have a nice conversation with you, but what they're saying and what they're doing don't really seem to go together. There's some level of disconnect and confusion, just to have that preparation going in and being a little more aware than saying this person is alert oriented times four, everything's good to go. What you say, they're going to recall and they're going to understand it, just to make that differentiation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Cottingham, one question I have that was brought up by Mr. Newsom was the idea of the door being left open while a lot of this was taking place. Do you have any recollection as to what was happening during that moment? If the door was open, why it would have been open? Is that standard practice with how you typically manage things? If you can just speak a little bit into that.
Sure. The rooms that we had at that facility are all private rooms. They all also have a curtain that would cover the doorway. So a door could, in fact, be open yet covered. And to be honest, when I'm listening to that, it sounds like upon receiving the patient, she was at some level of undress. And typically what I have found over my years of practice is that it's very uncommon for a parent to have an opposite gender child in front of them where they allow themselves to be in a state of undress. And this patient, again, she was very difficult to direct and or get cooperation out of. What I feel when I'm listening to that audio is that we were really grasping at anything we could try to get the patient to voluntarily do for us. And so the focus of let's get you more covered up, I feel was directed at trying to just get her to use a limb more than that she was in a dress. It sounds to me like she has an arm out of the gown, but that otherwise she's fairly covered, but won't really participate any further in putting her arm back in the gown or changing her gown. But I do know that in the sake of modesty, which is trained into us from, you know, back when we're in PT school and doing even range of motion, that we would cover up our colleagues with a sheet or a blanket or a towel, that I would not leave a patient sitting or standing or lying in their room in a state of undress with the door open. In the hospital, you can have housekeeping, maintenance, dietary, phlebotomist. She could have had any number of people enter the room. That comes and goes from the room too. And while our hands were on the patient, the curtain was clearly drawn, but it does sound like the door was open because I don't hear the door open and close when the nurse came in the room. So I believe that the patient was either on their bed or on their chair and had her arm out of the gown. The curtain was drawn and the door was probably pulled to, but not shut. I'm trying the best I can to determine what's going on in that audio because it's hard without context. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do the best I can what I could hear there. And know my standard practices because I can consider it a patient's modesty, even if they are not. Because in the hospital, a lot of times people will say to us, oh, I gave up on modesty long ago. It doesn't matter anymore. And I say, well, it still matters to me. Let me cover you up. Let me put a gown around the backside of you like a robe, even so your bottom doesn't hang out when the gown is tied on the side. I'm very considerate of that. And I even jokingly tell my coworkers, if I'm ever in the hospital, I have two requests, help me brush my teeth and cover my bottom. And so I always try to provide for any patient what I would want for my own family member. I would not want my mother sitting somewhere in a state of undress, cold, or naked. Either way, I would not want that for my person, and so I would not want that for his person either.
Thank you. One other question I have is, so one of the other that has been brought up by Mr. Newsom is that he believes that you came into the room as an advocate for the nurse in regard to the accusations, you know, against that nurse. When you came into the room to begin therapy, were you aware of any accusations against the nurse that is in question? Did you have any knowledge of anything that was going on with that? Just if you can speak on that.
Certainly. I did not. This nurse that's in question, I have actually never met. She is a nighttime nurse that I know the name of only from having seen it on the census assignments. I have never met that individual, and I would not cover something up for someone. If there was a healthcare provider that was doing something unfair, unright, abusive, questionable to a patient, I would be one of the first ones to go talk to the individual and or the supervisor and follow through that chain of command that's set into place for just those kind of instances. Not to cover that up, I would have no benefit from it. I don't know her. It doesn't reflect on me as an individual because I was in no way involved. So it would not serve me in any way to try and protect this person from something that they may have done. And in fact, I would want to protect other patients in the future. If this was a nurse who mishandled people, I want that addressed so that they could learn from the situation and give better care in the future, not cover it up and allow it to happen again. But I would not be aware of that situation necessarily happening unless it had happened on a shift where I was present. But I was not aware of any of that until these allegations came up to me later and I reached out to the hospital to try and obtain details. I did not know anything about the situation, except Mr. Newsom said in the conversation with his mother that we have on that audio, something about the nurse hurt mom's arm last night. And we, of course, obviously got the nurse for the day shift to come and speak with them about any bruising or anything along that line. There were no attempts to shush him or shush her or cover that up in any way. We asked the questions. We continued assessing her and providing treatment to her for an extended time period, as opposed to trying to hide any kind of details about what may have happened the evening before.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Board member, do you have any other questions for Ms. Cottingham?
And may I ask also if the board can recognize where my voice is in that tape? Because I am definitely not the primary speaker in that tape. It does sound to me like this may have been the occupational therapist's initial evaluation. And therefore, what I suspect is that the patient was probably sitting on the side of a bed or on the edge of a chair, and I was providing balance support and helping to direct because I had done an evaluation of the patient and had needed two people to try transfers. So I know the therapist going in to do her evaluation would have also needed a second person, and two skilled therapists are definitely going to get more of a treatment session out of a patient than if I went in and utilized the CNA, the nurse, as an extra pair of hands when needed, or even a tech if they were available at that time. So I feel pretty confident that the reason why that was an occupational therapy driven session is, one, the patient was probably not able to ambulate and or stand for very long periods, but we were recommending that she would benefit from a next level of care. So we wanted to be able to support that she could participate in therapy for a lengthy enough session that other facilities, if they were reviewing, looking at taking her as a patient, would be willing to give her the benefit of the doubt that she could tolerate the highest level of care for a stroke, which would be going to an acute rehab after the hospital versus going to a skilled nursing facility if they didn't feel she could do enough therapy. So I feel that we were trying to get as much possible out of the patient, so to speak, to give her the opportunity to get the highest level of care. If the family chose it, obviously they have that choice to do whatever they wish with our recommendation, but to keep all of the doors open for her when she left there.
Ms. Cunningham, question. You mentioned that you had already completed your evaluation and the OT was doing hers. Was Mr. Newsom present for your evaluation?
I would have to go back and look at my documentation. And I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me. I don't believe that he was for my evaluation, but I could be mistaken, but I don't believe so.
Okay. I will ask him.
Okay, yes.
If he recalls that. Thank you.
Yes. And I would typically have documented that in my initial evaluation, all of the that were present. I don't recall reading that he was there for the initial evaluation. But again, I don't have the documentation in front of me right now. I'm sorry. I'm at home taking this call because I struggled to do it at work one of the times we did this with Mindy, I believe. So, and I left the document there on my desk when I left last night, but I don't believe so. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I can confirm that, that was not documented that he was present.
Okay.
But you can ask him certainly if he has
it. Oh, that's fine. If it's not a document. Okay. Sure. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Any other questions for Ms. Cottingham? Mr. Newsom, are you okay to answer questions from the board if they have questions for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I just have the one question, please. Do you recall the physical therapist completing the evaluation with your mom?
Oh, that particular day, there was no evaluation from her at all. On the record, you hear her saying they tried to speak with my mom the day, they tried to do a session the day before, that they could not because my mom was doing x-rays. I was not there the day before when they attempted to do it. That day, the timeline is very clear. She went in, she had a meeting at 3:10. This is in her medical records on page 538. She states at 1310 to 1320, she has a meeting with the charge nurse and the nurse director. That's not protocol for a nurse station. Then she states from 1345 to 1439 that she was in the room with my mom. After she leaves the room with my mom sits on the toilet. After they leave, on her note, she says she let the nurse know that my mom was on the toilet. Immediately after before my mom gets off the toilet, the nurse director comes into the room with the police officer, and that's when they write the police report. She did not do anything at all. There was never any services provided from PT on that day. There was a tape before. There's a 5-minute tape. I sent that as well. That tape is 5 minutes before this session. There was no extra time. OT charts that she started at 1350 and she ended at 1454 on page 524. So their timeline don't even match. She never provided any PT services at all on that day. And she states that she didn't do it the day before because they tried to speak to my mom. She said that we could not get in the room because of, on the audio, she said we cannot get in the room because they were doing x-rays. So they decided to come back the next day. Now, there was a evaluation done like maybe the 2 days before that, but she never did anything with my mom that day. She didn't do any training with me when I got my mom up. She could have trained me. She said, this is Mr. Newsom, the proper way to do it. You hear her saying nothing, no verbal cues. She never did anything that a PT person would do on that particular, on that visit. She didn't do anything. So I didn't, that's why I'm confused about she's billing hours. And when on her record, she says, look at OT notes, because she knew she didn't do nothing that day. You have to go look at the medical record on page 538, where she's talking about what she did not do. She didn't do anything that day, sir, my mom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question.
You're welcome.
Mindy, a question on in some of the documents, just really quick. There's a, it looks like it's medical documentation, and there's red font in some areas. Are those part of the chart, or were those comments?
Those are Mr. Newsom's edits.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, that I don't have any further questions for Mr. Newsom.
Mr. Newsom, one of the things that you stated is that you felt like Ms. Cottingham came into the room as an advocate for the nurse that the abuse claims are against. Can you explain why was that mindset something that you were thinking about? Stood out that you would think that was the case?
The things that she did while she was in the room. First of all, I did not know that she had falsified the record. First of all, that was a flag, because I did not know that she had made these false statements, that my mom had said something derogatory about her breasts. All that stuff that she put in the record, flag number one. And then number two, when my mom attempted to express to her about injury, my mom was trying to tell her the abuse that occurred the day before, she instantly overspeak her and then start saying lotion, lotion, lotion. Then my mom forgot what she was talking about, because she was a stroke patient. She got aphasia. She was trying to express to her about the abuse. She overrode my mom, overspoke her. And when my mom was trying to just take she was supposed to be listening. Then she overrode the conversation. And so then I did not know that she met privately with the nurse directors the day before, 10 minutes before she came in the room. OT did not meet with her. She is the only one that met with the nurse manager and the director. The OT did not put it in her records. It's only charted in her medical records that she's billing for the 10 minutes that she got time with the OT. Why would she bill 10 minutes for talking about a patient and then OT don't bill for it? And most of the work is being done by OT. So her billing on page 538, she's expressing for 10 minutes that she spoke with the nurse director. She may not remember it, but she spoke with them. Why would she be speaking with them? And then why would a person leave the door open? Those things don't add up. And why would she leave the door open for my mom? And then she didn't pull no curtain back. My mom was in the biggest suite they had there. She was in the presidential suite. There wasn't even a sheet up there. She was in the biggest room at the hospital because they didn't have any other rooms. She left that door open, and you hear her saying, cover up because we don't want people to see you. She should have just closed the door. That's her voice. That's not OT. OT was sitting right in front of my mom. PT never took a close position to my mom until she washed my mom's behind. She never did any interaction with her. She never was close up on her. She was standing behind me, and I was standing right next to the OT person. I'm sorry. That's what happened. Those things were flags, especially the false statements she wrote in there about my mom My mom didn't say anything about her breast. OT told her, lift up the girls. She wrote in her medical record that my mom said something derogatory when my mom didn't even say anything. All those statements that she wrote in there were fraudulent. They were misleading and they did not happen. You didn't hear them on the tape. When you listened to the audio, you didn't hear any of those statements that she said about my mom that my mom said. My mom didn't. Then she said that my mom told her, she wrote in there that my mom said that she's having problem with me. She put it on there that like my mom and I were having personal problems at home. And she put that in the medical record that said that my mom said those things. And my mama didn't say any of that stuff. It's just false. She made so many false accusations in the medical record. And if you listen to the audio, you hear that none of that stuff happened. That's how I feel. It was a flag.
And it was only in
thank you, Mr. 17 Wilson.
Minutes, not 40 no, minutes, not 60 minutes.
Board members, do you have any other questions for Mr. Newsom? Ms. Cottingham, would you like to make a closing statement?
Certainly. I would again just like that I had communication from the patient directly, which I did document in the subjective portion of the notes. I can't determine the accuracy of that, not knowing the patient prior. And if in that evaluation, Mr. Newsom wasn't present, I don't know and speak to what his mother did or didn't say. Any of the commentary that I have noted in my statement, I went back and listened to that reporting and I can hear comments with her foul language and her confusion. I don't feel that there is misdocumentation or misleading statements. I just put the comments in that the patient stated. There's no judgment of what those relate to or why she's saying them, just simply that they were there. Again, I think there is a significant level of confusion on the patient's part, and that's apparent. And the therapist that I'm working with and myself, we're really trying to obtain any level of participation from her that we could. And again, I will just state, I would not leave a patient sitting there without either the curtain drawn or the door closed. So I will tell you that if there was a door that was somewhat ajar, that curtain was pulled. And I apologize for any feelings that Mr. Newsom has now after the fact. I was not aware of anything going on in that room at the time. He appears to be very participatory in the session, and he comes and goes from the door as well. I did not falsely document times. I can't speak to what the occupational therapist did or didn't do in her notes. I don't have those present, and I would not be auditing that other individual's documentation. So I can't speak to the accuracy of what she did or didn't do, whether she spoke to anyone prior to the entry into the room or not, or whether she documented that interaction. I can only speak to my documentation and any interactions I had. So again, just I thank you all for your time and Mr. Newsom's time this morning.
Thank you. Mr. Newsom, would you like to make a brief closing statement?
Yes. I'd just like you all to be mindful of the medical record. I have all the records, so I'm mindful of OT records. She's given a reference that she did not do anything, and she said, please see OT records. That's documented right there where she says that. The OT started at 1350. She starts at 1310. Okay. The 1310 to the 1320 they were in there together. She told you all that they did it together. Her notes do not correspond with OT notes. She states that she had a private meeting from 1310 to 1320 with OT was not privileged to. OT did not conduct herself unprofessional in the levels where she demean my mom. She kept OT know it was her job. She would have never said it's not. I'm a therapist. She knows that's a part of her intake. And she should have, when she came in the room to work with OT, She was to remain professional. She should have never said, it's not my job. It's not me to supposed to tell you how to do that. Oh, that is a part of OT specialty. She was working with OT. She was to remain professional. And then she tells me at 1700, she tells me, this is what I'm talking about. We're trying to get her to follow a directive. And then she's not listening. This was her very first time interacting with my mom. Very first time. There is no record in the medical record of her ever seeing my mom the days before because it's not in the medical file. This is her first encounter with my mom. She was to remain professional. She was not to say those things to me. My mom didn't say anything about them being fat or skinny. You didn't hear that on the audio. My mom has dysphagia. She was trying to express to them that the shirt that the OT was wearing was her size. She was talking about the size of the shirt. My mom was not trying to say the girl was fat, skinny, or either other. She took everything off to a place. Like she said, my mom was, she made my mom into this person that my mom was not. She took her from being a patient. If you even listen to her to today, the derogatory stuff she said today, that you don't say that about a patient. My mother was a patient. She was to remain neutral and not biased. My mother didn't say bowel movement. My mama said shit. That is not bad. When her generation, that's how they spoke about going to the bathroom. She was not cussing them out. She was just saying, I had to go to the bathroom. That's just how she said it. She was 72 years old with a dysphagia. She was a nurse. I mean, she was a PT. She was supposed to remain professional. She was supposed to understand that she had aphasia. She was supposed to understand that she was confused. She wasn't supposed to give her no cold ice water to wash her body with. She wasn't supposed to leave that door open. She's saying that it was possible. No, I remember the door was open because I walked through the door and she didn't call the nurse. The nurse came through the door after we got my mom off the chair. The nurse alarm went off. The fall alarm went off. So the nurse was listening from the time that we had picked her up off the chair, and the nurse came in the room on her own. All of the stuff she's saying is false. None of those things that she did. She did not do any services as a PT person. She charted that I did not move her right. OT said I did it right. She said I didn't do it right. Their records don't even correlate. Her records do not correlate with the person that's doing all the primary care that moment. She cannot say that she came in at a different time and I wasn't there on that day because she billed for the same hours that the OT billed for, that they were there in the room together. There was never a time she came in that she knows she didn't do that. I don't even know why she's saying that. She's billing for the time she was in the room. The bill shows from 1310 to 1439. I'm in the room all that time. I only went out the room and you hear me leaving the room you hear my keys, you hear me leaving and you hear me coming back. I was there. She didn't do any assessment that day at all. It's on the record. That whole tape is what happened that day. She's 17 minutes. She falsified the information and she shouldn't have never did that. She shouldn't have did that.
Thank you, Mr. Newsom. So at this time, Mr. Newsom, Ms. Cottingham, the board will move into deliberations where we will be discussing the allegations and the evidence. And so I just ask that you not interrupt the process at this point. And then the next steps will be that the board will make some determinations based on the evidence. Okay. Okay, thank you. Board members, do you have any thoughts or would you like to start the conversation? We have one allegation, and that is a substandard care.
There were two sides.
Oh, thanks. I was just going to the very top of the page to see if I can
32-2044 making misleading, deceptive, untrue, fraudulent representations, and ARS 32-2044 for engaging in performance of substandard care.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
This is Mr. Greer. I listened to all 27 minutes of the video of the audio, and I don't find any corroborating evidence on the substandard of care. I hear two professionals providing reasonable care to a patient who may not have understood exactly what they were there to do. And so I don't see the derogatory comments. It seems that the medical record is consistent with what I heard on the video, and those are my initial thoughts.
Mr. Gurr, I am members of the board. I listened to the tape actually twice, just really trying to listen to the interactions between all the parties, and read the medical records with her diagnoses and some of the impairments that she was presenting with. And I agree, it's a very difficult situation to be in with a patient who's had a stroke. There are multiple things that you're working on and dealing with. I heard them repeat several times what their role was, and trying to truly, it sounded like they were really working on trying to have her show them what she could do in order to make determinations for discharge, which is their role. Where's the patient at? Where do we think they need to be? What's the place, the best next setting for them to meet their goals? She required a great deal of redirection. I did read back into the note as well. It does, look like that time captured included communication with the nurse, but we heard communication with the nurse on the video. On the audio. So I don't see anything about a private meeting. I just see that the therapy team communicated with nursing during that time frame. I'm not hearing anything out of standard care for the setting that this patient was in her current place of healing from her stroke.
And this is Dr. Hike, and in terms of this scenario, right after having this incident the night before, I think may have influenced how Mr. Newsom felt about anyone coming in the room. He was in a protection mode for his mom, and I totally understand that. But I also think that in terms of the OT coming in and leading the co-treat, it would be normal practice for the physical therapist to take, let the OT run that evaluation, and it would be a normal practice to evaluate that individual's ability to do a transfer. A commode or a toilet is a very common assessment that's used to examine that transfer. Could she do it on her own? Could she dress herself? Could she wash herself? And there seems an audio recording to be a misunderstanding in terms of that occurring with the patient. And from that, I believe that's the confusion part that came out of the Dr. Cunningham's review in terms of looking at this patient and trying to go in and do a task and the patient not understanding the steps of that that task. I see this as a terrible misunderstanding, I think that this would be normal in terms of how this is done in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be in agreement as well. I ran through the recording twice as well, trying to make sure I had voices straight. In comparison to some of the other audio that we received, I've looked through all the documentation. Nothing in there stands out as, not having been something that occurred from what I heard within the audio recording. So, again, it's unfortunate. There's definitely a lot of misunderstanding occurring, but I don't necessarily see anything in regard to substandard care.
This is not my area of expertise, being a hospital-based setting. I haven't done that for many, many years. And so I appreciate my colleagues asking the questions that they did, because it really helped me, you know, kind of review and go back to what is standard of practice in that setting and co-treatment. You know, again, I've done it, but many, many years ago, and there is a quite a bit of collaboration that does go on in a hospital setting. And when the primary goal is to try to figure out what the next best placement is, it really does make sense that you have more than one person in the room at the time of treatment. I was not able to listen to the audio recording, but I did review the transcript a number of times, and I just could not see the any type of disparaging comments that were made. And so I also don't believe that substandard care is part of this consideration. I'm very sorry that Mr. Newsom had a very difficult experience with his mom being hurt in the facility, and what his subsequent feelings on the situation were. But I don't believe that Ms. Cottingham is really part of that situation.
I agree with you, Dr. Bustillo. Being in hospital care, in the hospital setting, it's just a very challenging place to be. Families and patients are going through a lot of things at the same time, and a lot on their plates trying to figure out what to do next. Given that it doesn't sound like the allegations were substantiated, I would make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
Okay. So I agree with you, Dr. King. I feel it's helpful to speak a little bit to Mr. Newsom's concerns, and I would like to do that. As all of you mentioned, I'm very sympathetic to Mr. Newsom's concerns. There are lots of concerns that he has raised. I think what I have heard throughout the course of this is that it seems like the primary thrust of those concerns is for other providers who are not this physical therapist. I listened through the audio, and I see how Mr. Newsom could be concerned about what was written. I also see why it was written. And I think that doesn't reflect poorly on his mother at all. I don't get that impression from Ms. Cottingham. I don't get that impression, frankly, from the records. It seems to me that this is probably just providers trying to do what they can to figure out where this woman needs to go next and what kind of assistance that she needs. And it sounds to me like there's some miscommunication, but probably nothing below the standard of care. I'm sympathetic to those concerns. I'm sympathetic to the difficulty of being in a hospital setting with as much going on around him as was. And it looks like he is a very caring son who's just trying to advocate for his mother. And that I appreciate. And I'm grateful that
I'm a hospital administrator. So when I say it was wrong, it was wrong. I'm an administrator by trade, education, a hospital administrator. I wouldn't have filed a claim if I didn't have right grounds. I have a master's as a hospital administrator. This had nothing to do with me. Nothing whatsoever. It had to do with my mom and the care she received.
And she still can't get no justice because you pink folks all sticks together. And y'all wrong. And y'all gonna pay for it one
day. Mr. Newsom, I'm gonna ask your computer, please.
I just want you to know that you all don't have to speak to me concerning anything concerning. It wasn't about me. It had nothing to do with me. It had to do with my mom.
The physical therapist, our professional point.
At this point, board members, we have a motion and a second. Judy, would you call the vote, please?
It's been moved and seconded to dismiss case 2214, Stephanie Cottingham, PT. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being present.
Thank you, Board. Thank you, Mr. Newsom.
And thank you all, too. Have a good day.
You too.
Can we take a short break before we?
I was just going to say that. Let's take a five-minute break, or 10, whatever you need. We don't have any times scheduled for any of the other agenda items. So let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll come back at 10:20. Does that sound okay?
The recording is going to stop at 10:11.